We come to the resurrection then of the unjust. And it says, the bodies of the wicked shall be raised up in dishonour by him as an offended judge. That's what the larger catechism says. The Confession of Faith, paragraph 3, says the bodies of the unjust shall, by the power of Christ, be raised to dishonour. Now, this is a very noticeable difference in the language. It's striking. The raising of the dead, raising of the unjustified or the wicked dead, it doesn't use the same language at all. The resurrections are not the same. Yes, they're raised up. Yes, they're raised up by Christ. But that's basically where the similarities end. And they're raised up at the last day. That's where the similarities end. The wicked are raised up. They're raised up by Christ. And the Bible teaches that. For example, Acts 24, verse 15. Hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. So yes, the unjust are raised, just as the just are. Not raised the same, but they are raised. They have that connection, that similarity. And then John 5, verse 27 to 29, the Son of Man has been given authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. The hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. They shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now notice again, here is the resurrection of the dead, and they're divided into the two classes. The good, they're raised unto the resurrection of life, and the evil, they're raised unto the resurrection of damnation. So they're both raised. Totally different resurrections. One's unto life, one's unto damnation. They come out of the tombs the same, but they have different ends, different destinations, but they are both raised by the same voice. By Christ, they'll hear the voice of the Son of God. So it's the power of Christ, his omnipotent power as the God-man, that raises them. But that's where the similarities kind of end. Negatively, first of all, they are not raised by the Spirit of Christ the way that the justified are. Because the Spirit is in Christ, the Spirit's in the members, they're raised by virtue of the resurrection of the head. It's on a different grounds. And it's the Spirit of Christ going out in grace and in his love to his people that is raising them up. And the unjustified are not raised up like that. Not by the Spirit of Christ as their head. They're just raised by the power of the Son of God. The power of Christ directly, without any allusion to the Spirit of Christ. There is not the union of the members to the head in the unjustified and in the wicked. There is not the first fruits relationship to the head amongst the wicked. They have no connection with Christ. He does not raise them as their Savior, as their head, as their living Lord from heaven who come to save them. He doesn't raise them like that. And he doesn't raise them as that. And he doesn't raise them in kindness. And he doesn't raise them in love. And he doesn't raise them in grace, though he raises them by his power. They are not raised by the virtue of the resurrection of Christ. It's on a different basis altogether. And as well as that, they're not raised unto honor. And they're not raised to have powerful spiritual bodies. And they're not raised to be made conformable to Christ's body. And all those negatives, they don't enjoy that. They don't have those things. Those are the things that distinguish the resurrection of the just. But positively then, the things that distinguish them, first of all, they're raised by Christ's power. The voice of the Son of God is still the same. The power is still the same, raising the dead. But they are raised by Christ's power as an offended judge. It's the power, not of a Savior, but of an offended judge. Hailing them, drawing them to the judgment, drawing them to receive the sentence and the execution. That's totally different. They're not raised unto life and unto honor. They're raised unto this death, this damnation, this dishonor. And so we read that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the holy angels are there. He sits upon the throne of his glory. The angels, they gather in all the nations, all the resurrected, they gather them all in. He separates them, the one from another, as a sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. And he says to his sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. And there is a great separation and the great departure. And something like that happens at the end of the world. It is a resurrection in the justice of God. And there's nothing of grace in it. It is for the execution of judgment. It is for the vindication of his justice. You see, the dead have to be raised because very many of their sins, in fact, all of their sins, were done in the body. They sinned in the vehicle of the body. And the body was culpable and responsible in it. And they have to be raised in that body. It's not raised for the wonderful life and for the glory. It's raised to be punished in that body. And so they're not raised in grace, as his people are. But they're raised in justice. Paul says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must, he says, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. That's one of the bases of the resurrection of the dead. Yes, to a certain extent, for the justified as well, although much, much more than that. But definitely in the case of the ungodly, the things done in his body. Now, hopefully the people of God will have done good things in their body. Many good things in their body. And that will show that they belong to the Lord and have been saved by grace. But the wicked, unfortunately for the things done in their bodies, is bad. And so the confession says, raised up to dishonor. And the larger catechism says, raised up in dishonor. Everlasting shame to be judged, to be punished in that body. Daniel 12, verse 2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame. An everlasting contempt. So you see, they're raised, and that word everlasting is very important. The good to everlasting life, the wicked to shame, and everlasting, unceasing contempt. The contempt of one another, the contempt of the devils in their presence. It's awful. And they are raised and merely empowered to face that and to suffer that contempt and to eternally be able to continue in it. That's all the resurrection does. It empowers them to suffer. The body as it is now, it couldn't suffer the Gehenna flames. And so it has to be raised. We can't say that it receives the incorruptibility, maybe the immortality is maybe even a word we might hesitate to say, because it's not the immortality that the people of God have in 1 Corinthians 15, but nevertheless, they are able to endure the everlasting contempt and not be extinguished in the agony of it. So there's nothing glory about the resurrected dead. There's no beauty in their bodies. There'll be no dignity looking, they'll be ugly. Probably all kinds of physical deformity that is matches their sin. We can't tell. The Bible's silent on it. But it's not honorable at all, and it's shame. Miserable bodies. Unhappy bodies. Ugly bodies. Just merely fitted to endure eternal punishment. How God's people should praise him for his grace and his salvation that has chosen them in Christ, their head, to have the everlasting life that he came to obtain for them. And gives to them. How blessed are his people. And how miserable are those who are not. We'll end it there then for tonight.